If you'd like to open your Bibles, as we've got time, I'm going to read the passage again so we've got it clearly in our minds, because I'm not going to refer to it all the time. I'm going to go straight through the sermon, but we need to have the passage clear in our minds. That's James chapter 2, page 226 in the New Testament part. Page 226 in the New Testament part. My brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there or sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now, when we prepare sermons, we're the first to get challenged. And I find this passage very challenging. And as we go through it, we will all know in some way or other that we fail. But it will be wonderful, won't it, if we go away from the church tonight and think, yes, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I will change my attitudes. I will let God be the power in changing my attitudes. Let's start with an illustration. Many years ago now, when I was working in London, it's lovely to think that I'm not working in the law anymore, but I was working in London, and every week, I think it was a Wednesday, I used to go to a communion service in a local church. And I really longed for that communion service. I really loved it. And there were only a few of us. But as we got round the Lord's table, there was a great sense of worship. And I, for one, used to rush so that I could be there and enjoy that quiet time when we look back to the Lord's death on the cross. And one day, the few of us who came all rushed into that church. I rushed in with the other people, and I got to the other side of the door, and I suddenly thought, what you've done, John? Because in the porch of that church, there was exactly the person we're talking about in this passage. A person in dirty clothes, the sort of person you might be nervous with on a dark night. And he was sitting in the porch, and we had all passed him by. And so I thought, I cannot go to this communion service. I cannot receive the bread and wine unless I go back, even though I may be late, and talk to this man. And so I opened the door and went back. and I talked to him. And I found he was a person who had been on drugs. And we talked. And I hope I was of some help to him. And every week, for the few weeks after that, there he was, and we used to have a little chat. And it was really a miracle that I noticed what I was doing. But it's exactly what James is telling us here, that we've got to be people who look not at the outside, but the inside, so that we don't put certain people in a different context and are partial to those who we feel at ease with, who may be a middle class. Like all the different people were who went to that communion service which I used to attend. Do we see that we so easily can just talk to those who come into church who we think are normal, who we think are just like us? We can forget the person who doesn't fit in, who may be poorly dressed, who may be from a different segment of society from us. This is what James is writing about. He's talking about us treating everybody the same and giving them Jesus' love in every way for every person and not being partial. You see, if we really believe in the glory of Jesus Christ, the wonder of his lifestyle, then surely we shall act like him, or at least, as we're all doing, with the help of the Holy Spirit, try to act like him, being more like Jesus Christ. If two people came into church, one rich and richly clothed, and the other poor and poorly clothed, what would the Lord Jesus do? We heard from Duncan at the beginning of the service that we should realize that Jesus is here. Right, now what would Jesus do if the two people came into church together? He would treat them equally, wouldn't he? We know that's true. He would not abandon either. He would be impartial in his attitude to each. He would see that each person had been made in the image of his Father, and without reference to outward appearances. And we know that from Jesus' time on this earth, how continually he was going to the fringes of society, how he would sup with a prostitute. He would be with people who the Jewish people of the time would call an outcast. He was not partial. Do we remember the story of the great banquet in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14? Don't turn to it. We see in this the attitude of Jesus. He was impartial. And in the story, it is clear that the person giving the banquet had sent out invitations to those he knew, probably of similar background. But what did they do? They refused the invitations. One saying that he had bought a piece of land. Another could not come because he had a yoke of oxen. Another used his new marriage as an excuse. So he had offered to these people. Then the owner of the house invited the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And we can understand from this parable that Jesus is impartial. Now he invited the better off, as we've seen, but they refused the invitation. He also invited those who were poor in one way or another. And what did they do? They said, yes, please. Do we understand, therefore, that the Lord Jesus cares for all, whatever the position in society that is held, but has a leaning towards the poor and those on the fringe? Why? Because they are more open to him, they are better recipients of his grace. They have less strength. They are the poor in spirit that he was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. Surely Jesus' attitude must color our own attitude if we are truly wanting to grow into his likeness. Following Jesus and wanting to become more like him, we don't therefore make distinctions, go on outward appearances, which can be deceptive. I'm not saying that we don't pay respect where respect is due. For example, if the Queen came into our church, it would be right and Christian to draw her to a special seat at the front. Now, James is writing about attitudes. When that one person enters our church, who looks like a square peg in a round hole, you know what I mean, we treat him or her as special, and we discern the attitude of Jesus rightly. If we honour that person, give him or her a good seat, and act in relation to him or her impartially. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? To act in any other way is to blaspheme the name of Jesus, ignore the glory due to his name, to which the whole of our Christian lives are dedicated. And I am challenged, as I said, by this passage, and I'm challenged by the songs that we sing. I don't know about you, but I'm challenged by the songs. Because when we sing, and we say in the song that we are following Jesus, that we want to know him more, we can only know him more if we're honest, and if we see in our consciences where we fail, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, try to change. In one sense, it's counterproductive to sing a song time after time without listening and seeing where we need to change. And of course, even more so, it's counterproductive to listen to God's Word, to read God's Word day in and day out, and not be open to the change that the Holy Spirit is calling in us. Now, if we are impartial, then the grace of God in us has not been frustrated. And that's a wonderful thing. We will have fulfilled the royal law according to Scripture. As we all know that we are called to love our neighbour as ourselves. And my word, isn't that difficult? When we get up in the morning, we look in the mirror. Well, I expect we do. I do. I notice I'm getting older. And if we are a man, we shave, don't we? Using a mirror. Or if we are a woman, we probably make up. But we look in the mirror and we see how we look and see whether we look respectable. We put on clothes. Yes, clothes that make us look good. And sort of we are aware of our appearance. And we think, yeah, let's put on this. We'll look really good going to church. Every now and then, we go off to the local town, maybe Tunbridge Wells, for a little retail therapy. We think we've been working hard so much that we should have a little bit of a buy. Have a little retail therapy. Go around. We'll have that pair of shoes that we really like, or that CD that we really want. Do you see? We want to make ourselves look good and feel good. As Christians, we are called to love our neighbour to the same extent that we love ourselves. Now, if that doesn't challenge you, it challenges me. So if we do everything for ourselves and ignore our neighbour, we fail to keep the law. Fail to respond to the grace of God calling us to love our neighbour. James is teaching us not to be partial in our friendships. That is, only make friends with the wealthy, those like us who are middle class, but treat everyone the same, namely as someone important in God's eyes. He is teaching us to love that person as we love ourselves. If we fail, we do wrong. And to do wrong in this connection is to shatter our Christian discipleship. To fall down on one point is to fall down in relation to the whole of our following of Jesus. You cannot break the law in this sphere without becoming accountable for all of it. Illustration. Take a brand new piece of glass, which we place in a picture frame over our favorite painting, and it looks marvelous. If we knock the glass and crack it, the whole glass is ruined and needs to be replaced. In fact, the whole picture is ruined. The glass needs to be replaced, so it looks really special. So in the picture of our lives as Christians, failure to love others, whatever their situation, shatters the whole of our discipleship, and we need to go back to God. We need to be renewed in the Holy Spirit so that we can learn to love our neighbor as ourselves, to be impartial. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy on us. He suffered the agony of the cross that we might be set free from sin and be able to live lives full of love of neighbor, whoever they might be. If we show no mercy, therefore, to our neighbor, to that poor person who comes into the church, or that person we know whom we meet in the street and needs our help, then by acting in this way, we are calling down upon ourselves the judgment of our loving God, who in Jesus showed us an infinite fullness of mercy. Jesus on the cross did everything for each one of us in this church. He died that we might have life. He died that we might go to heaven. He died that we might have abundancy in the way we live. But this abundancy should lead not only to love of Jesus, but within that love of Jesus, to love of our neighbor and an impartiality, so that whoever that person is, we show Jesus' love to him or her. So, how do we apply this? How do we meet the challenge? So let's divide that into two parts. At home, that is in Kroger. Now, I know all of you in the church are good because you do talk to people as far as you can, but we can improve. Be those who don't just talk to our favorite friends, but be the same to those who don't fit our particular group. When having tea or coffee together, at the end there, in the coffee room, break that tight circle of friends to let into our discussion the outsider. Learn not to make distinctions, but be known as someone who draws others into our group. And without mentioning names, I know there are people in this church who are very good at that, and they challenge me. And All Saints maybe do even better at welcoming the outsider, talking to him or her, particularly the outsider who does not yet know Jesus Christ and doesn't understand maybe exactly what Christianity is about. And our love for that person, our focus on that person, without making them feel claustrophobic, will give them an idea of what it's like to be a member of our Christian fellowship and what it's like to know Jesus Christ. If the Lord Jesus entered our church, as Duncan said, what would our reaction be? I think we'd fall on our knees. I think the glory would be too much for us. But wouldn't we be the first to give him honor? And he's here by the Spirit. And so we would always, in our worship, give him the honor first. But act as if every outsider is the Lord Jesus. And give that person the honor of being welcomed
as an important person. That's where the challenge is. It is the question of an equal attitude to everyone. In our house group, have the same attitude to all. When we meet people we know as acquaintances in the supermarket or in the town, acknowledge everyone we meet. Let them know that they're really cared for and mean something to other people. You know, sometimes when you acknowledge someone that you meet in the supermarket, that person might be having a very difficult time. They might be a lonely person. They might have marriage problems. They might have lost somebody they love. And when you say, "Hello, how are you? How are things?" it's like a beam of light coming out for that person, and it changes their day. Learn from the Lord Jesus to be a person who cares for neighbours impartially, treating everyone as important, whether well off or poor off, however they are dressed, wherever they are. And so the second part, abroad. Worldwide, learn to have the mind of Christ, who drew the poor to himself. Look to the importance of justice. And where we can work for impartiality in the national scene, whether this concerns the Marsh Arabs in Iraq or immigrants trying to enter our nation, realize that the Bible is strong on justice. Read the book of Amos. Join our newly formed Justice and Peace group. Don't ever let colour make any difference to your attitude to people of every nation. So far as the Christian Church is concerned, remember that there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male or female, for all of us are one in Christ. And for us men, particularly us men leaders, realize the importance of the ministry of women in the church. And realize that if the women withdrew from the church, there will be a gap that could not be filled. So support women's ministry. Show women how important it is that they be involved in the ministry of the church. Remember, there is no longer male or female. For all of us are one in Christ. Finally, applying these verses from the book of James, by showing in our lifestyles that we believe in the Lord Jesus, in the sense that we never have favourites, but those we care for equally as our neighbours. In this way, wonderfully, we will demonstrate the glory of the Lord Jesus, who himself, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. If Jesus humbled himself like this, in order to serve you and me, we can act like him, serving everyone without reference to the person's status in life. In his serving, Jesus makes no distinctions. The challenge is, we did not either.